The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. We'll talk to Andy Staples coming up here in a few minutes. We've already had Tubby Smith and Chris Lowe on. It's been a busy Monday afternoon. Let's check in with Joe in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Just wanted to share an experience that I had with Coach Smith. I was living in Southwest Florida at the time. He had moved to High Point. I was visiting and got on a flight visiting my daughter in Richmond. Unbeknownst to me, he was on that same flight. So we were getting ready to board the plane. I just looked back in the line, and lo and behold, about six or seven guys back is Coach Smith. And I said, I cannot pass this up. So I went back, and I just told him how much I appreciate what he had done for UK, his entire family. He could not have been more kind and gracious. And I think that just speaks volumes of the kind of man he was. So just wanted to share that with you. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that he was fantastic when we had him a few moments ago. Let's check out Charles in Athens, Georgia. Hello, Charles.
Hi, Paul. Glad to talk to a legend.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking around.
I just don't know what coaches nowadays, when this NIL giving these 18 and 20 year olds that kind of money. But other than that, I do want to mention that, you know, that a couple of times on your show about not giving Jalen Carter a ticket, but you can Google the traffic stop and the body cam, and he wrote him up a ticket and said he could call that number and probably pay for it on the phone. But then Kirby just recently said he didn't know that he had got stopped. So, I mean, there's just a lot, you know, and it's a lot for a coach to deal with the players getting that kind of money.
So. Well, it is, Charles, because, you know, there was a time when, you know, you had a real, you had something over the players, so, like playing time that mattered. And nowadays, Jalen Carter, had he been able to come out last year, would have been among the top three or four picks. He might have even gone number one. So
right.
He's just
right.
Riding out. I mean, what's Kirby Smart supposed to do? I know what he's supposed to do, but.
But I will say on that body cam, you can see that officer mentions two other players, but they get beeped out. That he said, I've stopped so-and-so and
right.
so-and-so in the last week. So there's a lot of speeding going around.
Yeah, I wonder, Charles, if he had stopped the two of us over there doing the same speed, whether we would have got the exact same lecture.
That would have been a no. That would have, to me, that's a super speeder, and I don't know how you don't. he told Jalen. He said, "The good news is you're not going to jail." He said, "But you got to slow down." He said, "Tell your players over there to slow down." That's what he told them.
Well, at that point, and I know that it's probably inappropriate, but that's the moment I wish the policeman would have told somebody and then called Kirby Smart and say, hey, listen, this.
That's what it should have happened, yeah. But why it didn't, I don't know.
I mean, your guy, thank you for the call. This is the last time. The next guy is going in, but again, I don't know enough. I don't know anything about the Athens police, but with police nowadays, you probably aren't allowed to do anything outside of what the handbook says. Thank you for the call. Kurt is in Florida. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, Paul. How are you? First-time caller.
Thank you.
Just a war story. Back in it was around 77, 78, working at a Holiday Inn, South Orange Blossom Trail, going to community college. And one day I'm in the bar. We didn't open till 5. Lights are down, cutting fruit. Looked up, and there's Bear Bryant. And needless to say, instantly recognized him. And he wanted a drink. So back then, we had the big 20-ounce styrofoam cup. And I said, what would you like? And he said, a screwdriver. And back then we used to free pour, and they still free pour now, but literally half and half into the cup. He took it, started drinking it, got about halfway done, took a break, finished the rest of it. By then he started heading out after he paid me. And by that time, the word had kind of spread up in the front office area. And he headed out the front door, got in a limo, and then that night on the news, he had been in a charity golf tournament local in the Orlando area. But it was quite and he gave me an autograph, but quite an experience and a true legend.
Yeah, I mean, that's so interesting that that a coach would walk in. My first experience with a coach drinking was I was in college, and we had invited the head coach at Tennessee, who was Johnny Majors, and he was going to speak to our group, and we were meeting at a hotel, and there was a bar, so I met him outside, and he gave me whatever he gave me. He said, "Go buy me a drink." I'm like going, I looked at him like, really? But he didn't care. The idea of a student buying a coach a drink, I always found to be pretty funny. But, can you imagine any of these coaches today, any of them, walking into – I'm not talking about at a coach's convention because I've seen them at meetings and stuff. But I'm talking about just a normal bar and like Bryant and buying a drink. Blake is up next. Hello, Blake. Go right ahead. Didn't hear from him. Let's try Chip in Georgia next. Hey, Chip.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How you doing on this pretty Monday, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to ask. I know that some of the past quarterbacks from UGA, you know, have not been stars in the NFL. You know, Jake Fromm, Aaron Murray. But for some reason or other, and I want your opinion on this, it seems like Stetson Bennett has a chance. You know, there was a comment one time about a receiver. All he does, I think it was Chris Carter, all he does is catch touchdowns. And when it comes to Stetson Bennett, all he does is win games. And he seems to be tough in the fourth quarter and all. I just wanted your opinion on how you think he's going to do in the NFL, sir.
Yeah, I think that is easily one of the bigger question marks. I don't think NFL scouts are obsessing over it. And I don't mean this disrespectful to Bennett, but I don't think he really figures high in their plans, but I don't think anybody knows what to make out of him. We are the experts are fawning over, obviously, Bryce Young, Will Levitt, Anthony Richardson, and I don't hear anyone talking about Stetson Bennett.
Well, and you know, to a degree, quite frankly, I agree with you, but, you know, old Southern coach said one time, there's them what wins and them what don't. He just seems like a winner to me, and I just feel like he's got a chance. But I know you've got a little bit more perspective than I do.
Well, I've had people who will argue to the death how good he is, and that came up during the Heisman conversation. But I don't think it matters really in terms of draft stock, because I don't think he's going to go high enough. I just think if he gets with the right team that has a coach that can understand, and if he finds the right locale, I think he'll be successful, but there is no guarantee of that based on what I hear. Hey, thank you for the call. Jacob is in Alabama. You're on the air. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, how are you today?
We are well, thank you.
Hey, I know you guys were talking about coach encounters and whatnot, and I just wanted to call and tell you one that we had down in Auburn, Alabama. We were going to school down there, and we got back from a ball game one night. We went back to the trailer park, and we had a little fire going, and we looked up. One of our buddies was missing, and long and behold, here he comes pulled up with Pat Dye, and he gets out of the truck. We had left him at the ball game, and Pat Dye had picked him up on the side of the road and brought him to our house, and he hung around the fire for a little while, and he had him, you know, a cup of whiskey and hanging out with us. It was really neat.
Jacob, you're talking about right there one of the most unassuming people I've ever known. And I would say of all the coaches that I've known in my career, I would put Coach Dye in the upper two or three that I knew well. And, yeah, I mean, he But again, I think, you know, he grew up poor kid from Georgia, never really let any of it get to him, and never forgot. I mean, it's the oldest cliche in the world, where these, you know, people either forget or don't forget where they come from. But I do think that separates a lot of people. And I think too often coaches start making $10-12 million a year, whatever they, and get, have all the security around them and insulated. And, Pat Dye never forgot that. He was always the same. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We are back. Andy Staples on the NFL Combine coming up in a minute.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Andy Staples' latest, he's got a lot latest actually, but this one about buzzwords in college football, what do they mean? I don't know, because I try to avoid talking about things like culture and fit and anyway, let me get to Andy joining us from The Athletic, just back from the Combine. Andy, thank you for the time. So tell us what these words really mean.
Question from a Tennessee fan, because they're not used to having great culture and great alignment in the last few years, and it feels like they've got that now. So culture is like this really bizarre, abstract thing. But like to answer the Tennessee fan's question, I was explaining – the players actually want to show up in the offices now. They want to go visit their coaches. They want to be around one another, which was a pretty dramatic departure from the Jeremy Pruitt era. And that's a good sign of, a healthier culture. I think, Alabama has been the healthiest culture over the last 10 years. And what Nick Saban's done is said, hey, your individual goals, you being better individually will help make us all better. So you work as hard as you can to dominate this next moment. And all of you do that and we'll be better as a team. And that's a very, it's a very healthy culture. But with Tennessee, the other word the reader asked about was alignment. And Paul, we hadn't seen great alignment at Tennessee in a long, long time, but they actually have that now, kind of administration top down, which I'm very excited to see with Hendon Hooker gone, with Darnell Wright gone, with some good players not on the roster anymore. How does Josh Heupel keep that going? Because they do have support, from the athletic director to the chancellor on campus to the system president. Like, they really are as aligned as they've been, golly, since probably I was covering the team back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I always thought alignment was like what you get when you go by Firestone on a Saturday morning. I think Scott Woodward and Brian Kelly shattered that phrase when at that hire. So let me move on because everyone's healthily aligned right now. The ACC. They are not aligned.
Not aligned. No.
Let's get to them. And I know their commissioner, Jim Phillips, says all the right things, even when he's saying the wrong things. But can this league be saved? Is too big a word, but can they figure it out in time?
So in time is the interesting question, because they're together for the next 13 years, if you're to believe their grant of rights and media rights deal with ESPN. So unless someone is going to be very daring and challenge that grant of rights, which is basically an agreement that says the league has all the rights to all your home games until the TV contract ends in 2036. So unless somebody's really daring and feels like they can mount a successful legal challenge to that, they're going to be together till 2036-ish. But what is going on is you've got schools like Clemson and Florida State and Miami and North Carolina who feel like they would have options if they could be on the open market. We're saying, look, we know that if we're on the open market, we will have a chance to go somewhere else. So how about you slide us a little bit extra and we make more than some of the teams in the conference who might not have options if they were on the open market. And naturally, if you're Boston College, if you're Syracuse, you look at that going, well, am I going to give you money now? We got a deal here. And so they're going to fight this out. And it's really interesting, Paul, because 10 years ago, USC was saying the same thing in the Pac-12. And they're like, we're going to leave when we have a chance. We're going to leave when we have a chance. Well, guess what? 2 years before their deal was up, they said, we're leaving when the deal is up. So that's really the part they've got to get figured out, is there's an expiration date on this. You know, whether it's 2034 or 2033, you know, when you get close to the end of that deal, are those schools going to be like, hey, you didn't play any ball with us, so forget you. We're just talking to these other leagues and see if we can go somewhere else.
Is there anything realistically, because I know this, it's great for Twitter and great for Twitter when it's working, by the way, and to get headlines. I mean, is there anything they can really do, Andy, until much closer to the end?
Not unless one of their lawyers comes up with a dynamite strategy for attacking that grant of rights. And according to people I've talked to, nobody's quite come to that yet. You know, I think you heard Florida State's athletic director and board of trustees, and they talked about an exit fee, but they didn't mention how much it would cost if they didn't have their home games. And, you know, the more sick of it they get, the more options they're going to explore. But I still, even talking to people at the schools that would like things to change, they're pretty afraid of that grant of rights.
Andy, let's get to the weekend in Indianapolis. And kind of sense this was going to happen, but Anthony Richardson, everyone loved him. Everyone talks about his talent. We didn't see a lot of it on the field, but he had a pretty average team around him. And he goes up to Indy. What did they do, and where could he literally end up?
Well, he ran real fast. He jumped real high. And the more important thing is throwing. And in a situation where he would throw and then C.J. Stroud would come in and throw, which I think C.J. Stroud working out probably worked in Anthony Richardson's favor, because you got to look at those two side by side. And C.J. Stroud generally believed to be the most precise, accurate quarterback in this draft. I mean, he completed 69% of his passes over two seasons at Ohio State. So you know he's accurate. And Richardson didn't look appreciably less accurate than Stroud side by side. So that was really good for him. The thing was, there was a guy standing there in a backpack in a hoodie named Bryce Young who didn't have to work out, who could just go look at the tape. Look at the tape. You know I'm good at this. And so that's the interesting part. I still think Young and Stroud are the first two off the board, though the Richardson camp obviously would like him to be the first one. But you get down to teams like the Raiders, the Panthers, you know, up at five, you got the Seahawks, who could franchise tag Geno Smith and have him for a year, have him be like the Alex Smith when Patrick Mahomes was a rookie. You have the Lions, who have Jared Goff under contract for another year. They could pull that same thing. Because I do think if you're going to take Anthony Richardson that high, you've got to say, we're going to give you some time to develop, because he's 20 years old. As you saw, he did not have a dominant season as a starter in college. And Anthony Richardson and Will Levis are kind of in the same boat, where they've got these great physical gifts, but they're all saying to NFL teams, hey, I can be more consistent than what you saw on the field last season.
Andy, before you go, middle of the week, Jalen Carter was the story of sports. I don't know how much that ebbed and flowed in Indy, but what have you heard, and how badly has he been dinged by subsequent reports out of Georgia?
Well, we were standing there waiting for him to talk at the combine, and this is before the AJC story came out, and then obviously before the Athens Police Department announced that there was a warrant out for his arrest. But all that happened within about a half hour of when he was supposed to talk. And so it was pretty shocking to see that come out, because everybody had heard there was another shoe that was going to drop in that horrific crash and or the investigation of that crash. And so you just didn't know what it was, which player, and that was the one. And so I don't know how much it affects him, because I think teams are going to have to dig into what comes next. You know, would there potentially be more charges, civil suits, that sort of thing? But that's not the sort of thing you know within a few days of this. The thing is, they've got a few months to get that figured out and dig into it and find out what's really going on.
Talking about Anthony Richardson. Andy.
I am not as fast and I do not jump as high, Paul, but I wish I did.
Well, we will be calling on you in a couple of days to talk about the Gators in the upcoming season. Thanks, Andy. Always great to see you. Just back from Indianapolis, and we'll get to your phone calls in just a moment.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. You can give us a ring at 855-242-7285 right now, and we would love to check in with you. Dale is in Colorado, and you are next up.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Dale. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to tell you, man, what a great, great show you have, man. I love you to death.
Thank you.
And, you know, I find myself singing your, you know, walking around singing your theme song at work all day. So,
well, that means a lot to all of us. Thank you very much.
But anyway, now my question is, I mean, so who do you trust more in the next upcoming season, Mike Bobo or the no-name offensive coordinator for Alabama? And who do you think is going to win more games next year, Alabama or Georgia?
I it goes beyond the offensive coordinators, but I think there is more trust at Georgia right now.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And you know, I mean, I'm a Georgia fan, man. And you know, I'm live in Colorado, but I'm from Georgia. And Mike Bobo gets, you know, less credit than he deserves. I know he was at Auburn in South Carolina, but while he was there, I mean, you know, he pretty much made an upgrade for both of those teams.
Well, by the way, I don't think anybody would. You could have gotten – I mean, I don't know who we would all agree is the best offensive coordinator in the country, but let's say Todd Monken, just for the sake of argument. You put Todd Monken at South Carolina or Auburn, and is the result any different? Especially at Auburn, where the head coach was the de facto offensive coordinator anyway.
Oh, okay, but, I mean, you got to have a quarterback. You got to have talent. Right.
If I hate to go back to this, but if a certain player had chosen to go down as opposed to go out of bounds in the Iron Bowl,
right?
Brian Harsin's first season would have been totally different, and he would still be there. By the way,
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And so my final question is, right now, who's the best head coach in college football?
Well, I think it's I mean, I know how you asked the question. I think Kirby Smart has the best program. I don't think he would beat Nick Saban in total. It's depending on how we're judging them.
Nick Saban is the GOAT. Don't get me wrong. Nick Saban is the GOAT. But as of right now, I think Nick Saban's time is over. I think Kirby is ascending, and I think he will be the next Nick Saban.
Well, I'll say this, Dale. I think he has a chance to be. And to be the next Nick Saban, he has to weather this crisis. He doesn't have to win this year, but I mean, you know, Nick Saban, if you look at his career, he won a lot of those titles in a bunched up period of time. He won in 09, 11, 12, then he came back and won in 15, 17, and 20. So it's you have a compressed time. The one thing that may be against Kirby Smart for winning that many titles is the new playoff. Nobody knows how that's going to affect anyone. I mean, there are going to be upsets. Saban was upset a couple of times, and he pulled a few upsets along the way. You can say it evens out. Right now, it seems like it's evened out a little bit more against him than for him. Let's check out Pops, who is in Missouri. Hello, Pops. Pops, you there?
Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I'm here. Good. I'm enjoying your show here from the
Thank you.
Care Center in Southwest Missouri. How do you see Missouri? What do you think of Missouri went over Ole Miss the other day?
Well, I think what Coach Gates has done and Missouri has done this year is spectacular. That was a really great hire a year ago. I mean, if you had told me last March that Missouri would be a double bye and comfortably in the SEC tournament, I would have probably laughed out loud.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think Mizzou and Arkansas will do pretty good in the SEC tournament this year?
Yeah, I mean, Pop, here's where it gets really dicey. On Wednesday, we'll be there Wednesday talking about it. Is that the SEC tournament for some schools is a preparation for the following week? And what I mean by that is, it's simulated. I mean, there's a lot of that. There's media, there's fans, there's chaos, and that helps prepare you for the NCAA tournament. It really depends on what the coach. Everyone wants to win. I don't mean to insinuate that anyone's going to Nashville to lose. Some teams need to win more, though. And Missouri, I think, has won the critical games. I mean, they're not coasting, but their seed line probably won't change. I mean, could they winning Friday and Saturday and getting to Sunday, would that help their chances? Yeah, it would get them out of probably a 7-10 matchup, which is a very dangerous opening round game. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Steve is up next in Alabama. Hello, Steve.
Mr. Paul Feinbaum, sir, how the heck are you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
I'm your Ross Bridge buddy.
Oh yeah, sure. You're gonna make me homesick.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Give me your thoughts on Alabama allowing Brandon Miller to play basketball when the family's grieving as bad as they are.
Well, I think it was – let me give a little context, and then I'll answer your question, because, frankly, I don't have a problem with him playing. But I think the only time that they could have sat Brandon Miller down was day one of this controversy. I say controversy. Tragedy is a better word to use. On January 16th, when the information was coming in, at that point, they could have. What they would have done by doing that, it would expose Brandon Miller to a lot of negativity that he ended up getting anyway. So pick your poison. The reasons why they didn't have never really been completely fleshed out. But even if he had been suspended on the first day, I think he would have been back in a couple of days, because ultimately there was not enough to pin anything. I mean anything on him criminally. So that takes it to the next level. Is he responsible for the death? It's difficult to blame him specifically. I know what everyone knows. I also know how outrageous some of the commentators have been in saying what they have said. I don't know the truth. All I know is what we have been told so far, And based on what we know so far, that's publicly, I would have played him. He'd be playing now is what I'm saying.
But my thought process is, though, I mean, you got to think, I mean, when you ask somebody to bring a gun,
well,
why would you do that?
Steve, the argument has been, as you well know, that he was not asked to bring, that he was asked. Okay, let me correct myself as I speak. We don't know. We don't know whether he saw the text. That's number one. And number two, according to his lawyer, believe him or not, he was heading back there anyway. So it wouldn't have mattered whether, I think if there's a difference in saying, bring me my gun, versus bring me my gun because I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, I am parsing words to make an argument, but you asked me and I answered.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just in the middle. I mean, you know, it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean,
I don't think anyone will ever admit it, Steve, but I think the university seriously considered suspending him initially. And then as the conversation unfolded, remember, we're not just talking. This is not your go back to when you played ball in junior high or high school. This is no longer if the coach that you do something, the coach suspends you. He doesn't ask questions. He doesn't want to hear your answer. You're gone. This is Brandon Miller, Brandon Miller's representatives, Brandon Miller's agents, Brandon Miller's lawyers. I'm just throwing this out there. I don't know firsthand, but I'm making a wild guess that there was more to the story than just Nate Oates saying, you know what, I think we need to suspend Brandon Miller. Let's take a break. More to come. More right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Busy Monday afternoon. Let's talk to Joseph next up in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? How you doing, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Oh, man, I'm glad you take my call. I appreciate that. But, man, but I'm going to make this plain and simple. Now, with the offensive coordinator, okay, at Notre Dame, was able to develop those players a little, was able to develop those two-star, three-star players. Now, let's be honest. Notre Dame doesn't have 2% of caliber players that Alabama has. Now, this is not a disrespect to Notre Dame, but the fact of the matter is an academic school. But now, at the same time, you know, with Kevin Steele coming back, he knows what to expect out of Coach Saban. So now I can say like this, you know, he can develop those, if the offensive coordinator can develop those two-star, three-star athletes, he can develop these four-stars because he's got a lot more to work with. But now I'm going to make this plain simple. Now, Kevin Steele is probably going to be here a year or two, all right? He can keep the defense on their toes, but we really can't wait for Jeremy Pruitt to just get off the Tennessee scandal like that, but he will get off. You know, I hear maybe it might be sometime around August, somewhere around there. But the way I look at it like this, now it's very much pressure to get that national championship back. Other than that, you know, people are going to be looking at this as a decline for Coach Saban. But to be realistic, I don't have to say Kirby Smart. He's not the next Coach Saban. He's the first Kirby Smart. Because it's best to always be the best original you, then a copycat somebody, then a copycat nobody. That's one thing I want you to remember. Be the best original you, not a copycat somebody else. Because being original you always pays off.
Thank you, Joseph. The difference here is that Kirby Smart is a disciple of Saban's. Thank you for the call. And Al is up next in Memphis. Hello, Al.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again, buddy.
Thank you.
I only got one comment. The NBA needs to be a little bit more disciplined on their players when they get involved in a situation like Morant did here in Memphis. You know, if you get in their pocketbook and fine them and, you know, say, look, if you do this again, you're not playing in the NBA. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree it's a terrible situation, but it's also a complicated situation. You know, you have a players union, you have all kinds of layers, and I really, in true confession here, I have not followed the story very closely.
Well, the only thing bad about it is these kids look up to these players as role models.
Sure.
Okay, and we got enough problems with the juveniles in Memphis that are carrying guns as it is. And we don't need a superstar basketball player in Memphis showing them, hey, this is okay to do this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand that point because, I mean, it's hard. I mean, the year's only two and a half months old, but Memphis has had probably more negative publicity than any city in the country because of the tragedy earlier. Thank you for the call. Don is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Don.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was just listening to the show before you came on, and they announced the SEC coaches, you know, awards. Brandon Miller won Freshman of the Year, and he made all SEC teams. On the other hand, Nate Oates didn't win Coach of the Year. It was awarded to two coaches, Tennessee's coach and Vanderbilt's coach. Now, how in the world can you beat a team by 50 points or something and yet he'd be a better coach?
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, I think it's also important to point out, I believe this is true, that Alabama was picked to finish fifth in the SEC. So I think a lot of times people vote on that based on expectations. And quite frankly, you could make a very strong argument for Nate Oates in terms of what he has done. I mean, his team isn't just good. I mean, they're spectacular.
Well, you think it's a fallout from the way he handled Brandon Miller?
Yeah, I think it is. And, I mean, I was particularly glad to see Miller win the player of the year because there wasn't really another choice.
Let me ask one more question. I think you're hiding in Chattis. I believe you could help me on this. Why did the turtle cross the road?
Well, I mean, I remember growing up, everybody always said that the answer was to get to the other side.
No, to get to the Shell station.
That's why I'm here versus splitting atoms at Harvard. Thank you for the call. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
What's going on, Paul? I hear you're doing eulogies at funerals now. And,
yeah,
and
by the way, if it Sunday, I charge more, but if you do a Monday funeral, I'll give you half off.
I thought I seen you yesterday on the religion channel delivering a sermon, but I was just going to see if you do all these various jobs, can you and Randy please do my tax this morning?
Yeah, I can. I'll do exactly what I used to do back in the day. This was the first time I ever had to do my taxes on my own. I didn't know how to do it, so I went to Sears and sat there in the very back of the store at H&R Block. That's what I would recommend. And by the way, that's the only place I really ever trusted to go because I was making so little money that I didn't want anybody else to know that. So I would sit there and this nice elderly lady did them, and then I'd come. I went to her for years. Hey, thanks for the call. Dave is up next in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Paul. It's nice hearing from you again, and thanks for taking my call. Are you there?
Yes. Go right ahead,
Dave. Oh, okay. Okay, me and Patty are worried about them shortening the football games, and I was wondering, in your opinion, or in, maybe you've heard something, that they'll do something like they messed up golf and do a split screen with the game going on and advertisements at the same time. Because with golf, you know, they have that little bitty
thing. Well,
Dave,
I don't think that's one of the things they're going to. I mean, there are a handful of things that I think that you can't call double timeouts at the end of the game. There are three or four things that are being floated. That is not one of them. We're talking to Tom Green from AL.com in just a moment. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.